appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. I especially want to ask an interest in your prayers this evening. I feel like I need a few more extra ones than maybe I've needed. You know, I always need the Lord's help and I always need your prayers, but I just feel a little bit more needy this evening. I feel like I'm one that, when I feel like the Lord has given me something, I like a good lead time. I'd like for Him to give it to me early enough, or at least have a couple of days to look over it and get my thoughts together. And I feel like He didn't see fit to do that this time, and I feel like He gave me this thought just as recent as today. And so, pray for me that we can bring it out in a way that would be pleasing to Him, and that I can be able to express the burden as I felt it from Him when He gave it to me. Written on the board, a new name. This evening I'd like to look at a little account of Jacob, and more specifically the account of Jacob wrestling with the angel. A story I've always appreciated, and it kind of amazed me. But before we get into that part of the story, I'd like to turn to Genesis 25. Starting at verse 21, just kind of give a little bit of, kind of go back in time a little bit before the wrestling with the angel took place. So here we're dealing with Genesis 25. We're dealing with Jacob's birth. Starting at verse 21. Says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So Jacob's birth. What I would like us to kind of think about for just a minute here is the importance of a name. The importance of a name and what a name meant. It's especially back in these days. A name, I believe, meant something a little bit more than it does now. There was more thought put into it. There was an importance for a name given. Nowadays, you know, we can, if we're expecting a child, it's easy to get you can go buy a book of baby names. You can get online and you can see they'll put out a list of the most popular names year by year, and that's how we kind of go about choosing what sounds good, or we might name a child after a close relative. But it was a little bit different back in these days. So the importance of the name Jacob, not that it was chosen by popularity, but a name that fit a child, or I guess you could say reflected a person's character of what that child might even is going to be like in the future. And from the what little bit I looked into it, it is believed by many that there was some kind of visions given to parents at the time of a child's birth, or of what that child would become or who that child was, and therefore they knew how to name that child. So the importance of a name, and that's kind of what I want to stick in our minds right now. So Jacob, it has a couple different meanings. I'll read the few that I was able to find, and they all kind of tie in. Jacob, holder of the heel. In that verse we just read, he came out with his hand on Esau's heel, or grabbing that heel. Holder of the heel, a supplanter, which means to deceive, to defraud. A schemer, a cheater, one who grabs from behind. So I can't say Jacob is a name that I would want to have, but I guess he didn't have a choice in the matter. And this is what he was named. So going forward, as we look at the events of Jacob's life, we think of what is one of the most popular Bible stories that we read is when he stole his brother's birthright. He goes out, him and his mother get together and they scheme a plan. You know, he puts the hair on his arms, he goes to his blind father, and he is given the birthright instead of Esau. So he tricked his dad, he tricked his brother, deceived his father, and I see where this fits his name perfectly. A deceiver, a cheater, one who is wanting to one-up somebody, one who's wanting to get ahead, looking out for themselves. So then we find Jacob having to run for his life. He gets the birthright and he's in fear for his life, and so he has to go on the run. He goes, and one of the next parts of the story is he gets with Laban, spends several years there with Laban, gets Rachel for his wife, gets ready to leave Laban. And then I believe there was some discussion about some flocks and some herds, some goats and some sheep, and then he tries to get over on his uncle a little bit. So, just a few accounts of how that name fit him. A deceiver, a cheater, to deceive and to defraud. I look at Jacob's life and I try to compare it to my life. Hope I'm not that way, trying to get over on someone else. I don't know exactly how many accounts we have of Jacob, but it looks like from most of what we read, he walked a road of his own choosing, a road of self-will, selfish goals, looking out for his own success. And all that led him to the Jabbok River, where he met with God. So I would like to turn to Genesis 32. We'll pick up at verse 24. And if you read early in this chapter, Jacob knew his brother was coming for him. He split his people up to go one way. That way, if they were attacked, at least some would be saved. But Jacob finds himself afraid, distressed, alone, sitting here by this river. And I can't help but wonder if Jacob had a little time, or took some time, to look back over his life and see the things, you know, and run back over the things in his mind, the things that I've done throughout my life, the things that I've done to people, and thinking, you know, I've done these things for so many years, I've wanted my way for so many years, and look where it's brought me. It's brought me, if you allow me to kind of put some words in there, to a dead end. Here I am. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of being on the run. I'm tired of just looking out for myself, and I want something different in my mind. I'm putting my thoughts, my words in there. But if that were me, and most of my life I've been this kind of person, and this is my name, and this is how I identify as this kind of person, then here we find Jacob by the river. So picking up at verse 32, I'm sorry, Genesis 32, picking up at verse 24, says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there." I've thought about this story many times growing up. And in my own way of thinking, I've looked at Jacob and I have thought, how crazy are you to pick a fight and wrestle with God? Who in their right mind would choose to wrestle with God? Now, it does say in the beginning of the scriptures that he wrestled a man. Maybe at the very beginning he didn't know it was God, but it was a supernatural being. And at some point during this tussle, if you can call it that, this wrestling match, he realized who he was wrestling with. I've thought about that, and I thought, what kind of chance did Jacob really have? He really, if it was not for God's love and for God's mercy, Jacob didn't have a chance. He really didn't. God could have spoke a few words, or with a flick of a finger broke Jacob in two if he really would have wanted to. He could have destroyed Jacob right then and there at that very moment, and we wouldn't even have this story to read. But I think of where Jacob came from and all those things that had transpired in his life, and how he had cheated and how he had got over on people and deceived people. And his life was made up of these kind of things. And here he finds himself at this place. I'm desperate. What do I do? And I believe the Lord, with His love and with His mercy and with His passion, looked down and He saw Jacob's need. He saw that Jacob needed something. And I believe, I would like to think that he saw that Jacob recognized the place that he had come to. And so the Lord decided not to do away with Jacob. And so the wrestling match goes on. Jacob is wrestling God. And as we read, God says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let thee go." God says, "What is thy name? Who are you? Who are you? What is your name?" He replies, "Jacob. My name is Jacob." Again, the importance of a name. What does Jacob mean? When God asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm Jacob. I'm the schemer. I'm Jacob. I'm the one who comes from behind. I'm the con man. I'm the I'm the self-centered man. I'm the man that's always looking out for myself. That's who I am. That's my name. That's who I identify with. And God says, let me go. And what does Jacob say? He says, Lord, I'm not letting you go. There is no way I'm going to let you go right now. This is the kind of person that I've had to live with all my life. This is the person that I've identified with. This name. I've had to live with this name all my life. And Lord, I am tired of being this kind of person. I'm tired of these things of my life. I'm tired of looking in the mirror and seeing this person look back at me. Lord, I'm not letting you go right now. I'm here. I'm alone. I'm tired. I'm scared. Lord, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what people know me by. And Lord, I don't want to be this way. I'm not letting you go. So what does the Lord tell him? The Lord says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. The importance of a name. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Again, the importance of names. Israel, for thou hast power with God and with men. A new name from Jacob to Israel. And here God's saying, this is who you are from now on. I can do away with that man that you have been. I can do away with that past. You can put all that behind you. From now on, your name is Israel. Because you have, what did it say, prevailed? You have prevailed with God. Thank the Lord that it is that simple. That it is that easy to change a person. That it is that easy for the Lord to give us a new name. To make a new me. And if there are things in my life that I can't stand anymore, and I see the way I've been, that's how easy it is. That I don't want to identify with the person that I'm labeled as, that the person I've become, that God can step in, and if we will hold on and say, Lord, I need this from you, dear Lord. I need this from you right now, and I'm not letting go until I get it. God's blessing to Jacob was a new name. Something that seems so simple. It's a name. But something so significant. It had such meaning behind it. He changed Jacob's name, but I see it as more than a name. I see it as being more than just a label on a jar or a container, but it's more than changing that name. It's changing who he was. It's changing the container. It's changing the shape of the jar. It's changing who I am. Who I identify with. What I'm made up of. If we were to read, verse 31. I can't help but think that this was a very uncomfortable place for Jacob to be in. In fact, I know it was, because the Lord put his hand on Jacob's thigh. It was put out of joint in verse 31. At the end, it says he halted upon his thigh. And if you were to look into that he limped on his thigh. So he was in a little pain. He was in a little discomfort. It wasn't an easy place for him to go through. And I can't help it, you know, his name had been changed. This is the new person that he is. He walks away with that. He walks away from that. A new creature, so to speak. limping, maybe a little feeble, maybe a little weak. But it reminded me of a verse that came to mind in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. I believe it was Paul was quoting the words of the Lord here. 2 Corinthians 13 and 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I like to relate that to Jacob. I look at him as walking away, limping, worn out, but look at what he gained from it. Look at what he was able to get from holding on until God was able to change him, until he got what he needed in his life. So to relate me, to relate my day and time to Jacob's story of wrestling with God. You know, I have lots of struggles. We have lots of struggles. And I do. I talk about them quite often. And how our struggles make us stronger. And there's many things we can benefit from in those struggles. I've had tendencies to wrestle in my life with things, try to take things in my own hands, looking out for me, setting my own agendas, working out things the way I think is best. And when I do those things, and when people do those things, it makes such a mess. It makes such a mess of life. And I really feel like that's one of the big reasons that we are where we are today in this world. That the troubles and the messes that people find themselves in, and the family problems, the financial problems, relationship problems that we go through. People wandering through life with no purpose, no sense of direction. Fears for the future, feelings of being afraid, feelings of loneliness. And at some point, we're going to find ourselves at, what's the term, our wit's end, where we don't have anywhere else to go. We have nowhere else to run, and maybe we find ourselves there sitting. And we're thinking back over, and it's, what do I do now? And I look back over my life, and I see these things in myself. And I don't want these things here. And I've run, and I'm at a dead end now. But hopefully, we can run into the arms of a God who can change that. And who can take us from where we were, and make us a new person, a new creature. And give us a new name. A name back here was a big deal. It's not a big deal nowadays. It's not. But he went from Jacob to Israel, one that prevailed with God. At one point, Jacob's here wrestling. He's wrestling. God puts his hand on his thigh. And God says, "Let go." Jacob says, "I'm not going to let go." That tells me at some point, and this is my way of thinking again, if you'll allow this, Jacob went from wrestling the Lord to holding on. God said, "Let go of me." Jacob said, I'm not letting go. I'm going to hold on." He was clinging to the Lord for everything he had, for all he was worth. At some point in our life, we're going to have to stop wrestling with those things in our mind, and we're going to have to hold on to the Lord for what he can do for us and for what he will do for us. Folks, if we're going to get anywhere in this life, if we're, and I talked about spiritual progress. No, I didn't. That is a burden I have. If we are going to make progression, and if we are going to get to heaven, and if you're going to see me there, and if I'm going to see you there, the Lord is going to have to change us from who we are if we're not where He wants us to be. And it's a simple process when we let Him get involved in that. But we're going to have to continue to hold on to Him. We're going to have to cling on to Him and say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to deceive. Lord, this is not who I want to be. Do what You need to do. And Lord, I'm going to hang on until You accomplish that in me. Lord, I'm not going to let go until You give me something, until You give me a new name, until You make me the person that You want me to be. Is it going to be an easy process? No, it's not. I would say that may have been one of the most difficult scraps, wrestling match, a fight, whatever you want to call it, that maybe ever took place. To wrestle with God? We wrestle with things in our mind. And if it takes me wrestling with God and holding on and having a little discomfort in my life and my hip getting out of joint, and it takes me limping around and feeling weak afterwards, then so be it, if that's what it takes. But Lord, I can't afford just to sit here at my wit's end, at a dead end of my life, and just identifying with this type of person that I've been all my life, and then that's it. No, I can't afford to do that. Your intent is for me to keep going. And Lord, I'm going to hold on until You give me what I need, till You change me, till You change my name. It's a simple process. It's a tough process from our way of thinking, the way we can look at it. It can be difficult in our human understanding of it. But really, it's a simple changing of you're not Jacob, now you're Israel. That's how easy it is for the Lord. That's how simple and how easy it is for Him to come in and change some things in your life. I want to encourage you that if there are some things in your life, some things that you have identified with, a name that you have, and you're not proud to bear that name, you're not proud of some things that have taken place, I would encourage you going forward. The Lord can turn things around for you. We have to hold on. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to persevere. He wants us to come to Him for those things, to seek Him for those things. I want to encourage you, hold on to the Lord. If you've identified those things in your life and you see those things and you don't want those things and you want to change those, hold on to the Lord for those. It's a simple process for Him. He can do it like that. Y'all pray for me that as I go through life and I see those things in my life, that I'll do what's necessary to get those things, to make things right with God, to move on, to make heaven my home. I want to see y'all there. I want y'all to see me there. And I hope that's the goal of us all, to become the person that God wants us to be. Y'all pray for me.